can do to let them know how precious they are and how much they mean in your life. When I think about godly mothers, two descriptions really come to my mind. The first thing is this: as mothers, you are life givers. Not only because you have given life to us in a very physical sense, but you give your life, your family life on a daily basis. You provide the support and the nourishment and the shelter and all the necessities of life that your family trusts you to provide. But more than that, we honor you as mothers because you are life changers. Your encouragement, your example, the things that you do every day truly change the lives of your husbands and your children and your grandchildren. We would not be the people that we are today if it were not for you. And we are so grateful because nobody makes a difference like a mother. One of the most moving scenes in all of the Gospels is the one we read together just a few moments ago. Jesus, suspended upon the cross, sacrificing his life, looked down upon Mary and his disciple John, and he asked them to adopt one another, to take on a very different identity in one another's lives. Even in the agony of that last moment, Jesus ensured that his mother would be protected and provided for, that she would be able to be loved and cared for. He gave John a great privilege and an overwhelming responsibility to care for Jesus' mother as though she were his own. None of us this morning can begin to compare ourselves with the Savior, but he does show us some ways that we can offer our own mothers some of the gifts that he bestowed upon his mother in that moment. So I want to take a few moments and I want to look at what Jesus did from the cross in caring for his mother and the example that he sets for us and the challenge that he gives to us when it comes to the way that we let our mothers know how much we care for them. What is it that we can offer our mothers that we see in the example of Jesus? Well, the first thing I see is this: we can offer our mothers rich personal attention. You know, through all of the descriptions of the crucifixion in the Gospels, the only personal matter they reveal is that Jesus was fixed upon the welfare of his mother while he was hanging on the cross. Now, we see in the descriptions of the crucifixion in the Gospels the love and grace that God was showing to the world, the salvation that he was offering to all of us, the sacrifice that he was making that would allow each of us to have the opportunity to experience eternal life. But there was that moment, that very personal moment, when Jesus looked down from the cross and saw his mother, and she became, for those few moments, the center of his attention. The very personal center of his attention. Even though the time was near when he would be ascending to his heavenly Father, Jesus was deeply concerned about the welfare of his earthly mother. And so for a few precious moments, she was the entire focus of his attention. Mary had no doubt about the depth of her son's love for her. He offered her that moment of personal concern. And that's a gift that each one of us can give to our mothers, that gift of very personal attention. Because that means so much to our mothers, doesn't it? You know, I don't know all that you have planned for Mother's Day in your life and in your family today, but I would imagine that some of you are going to be giving gifts, some are going to be giving flowers, some are going to be providing meals. And I'll tell you what, and there are going to be some times, moms, when you're going to open a gift and it came from one of your children, and you're going to open it and you're going to think, well, this is strange. What am I supposed to do with this? I'll never forget years ago the time when I gave my grandmother a gift. You know what I gave her? 3 spoons. What are you supposed to do with 3 spoons from your grandson? But you know what? I don't remember her opening the gift and saying, well, this is the goofiest thing I've ever seen. What I remember her realizing is that was what I wanted her to have. And moms, that's one of the things that's going to happen to you today. You may receive some gifts and you'll think, huh, what am I supposed to do with this? But that's not what you're going to say. What you're going to say is, this is the greatest gift I've ever received. Thank you so much, because you're going to know the heart behind the gift, aren't you? You're going to know this was a gift of great love. So whether it's the least appropriate gift or the most appropriate gift, what matters is not what the gift is, it's the heart behind the gift. And that's what you're really offering when you give a gift to your mother. Just like Jesus, you're offering that most personal gift that you have to offer. Time, attention, commitment. Reaching out and saying, I want you to have myself. Not just my gift. What mothers really love are those gifts that you can't place in a box or wrap a ribbon around. They are the personal gifts we have to offer. Time and attention, a chance to offer the best of who you are and what you have, a chance to be together with the people that you love. The gift of personal love is an incredible gift that you can offer every day of the year. You know, that's the temptation, isn't it? To think, well, Mother's Day is a very special day, and today I want my mother to know how much I love her. I want her to have the very special gifts that I have to offer to her. And then the rest of the year, it's okay to take mom for granted. You can assume that she's going to do the things for you that have always been there when you needed them, and she takes care of you, and she provides for you, and she meets your needs, and you don't even notice it. But maybe you should. Give her the things that she really would love to have. Be present. I'm not talking about in the room. I'm talking about be there, paying attention. Your mom, listening to what she has to say, giving her the attention she desires, and do it often, not just once a year. Make the time to let your mothers know how important they are in your life. And you may be thinking to yourself, I would love to do that, but the truth is, my life is so full. I have so many places to be. I have so many things to do. I can't take time that often to do those sorts of things. But the question we have to ask ourselves is, can I possibly be more busy than Jesus was that day? With the weight of sin of the world on his shoulders, he still had time to pay attention to his mother. And so should you. Make sure your mother receives the gift of time and attention. There's a second gift that Jesus offered to his mother. We can offer mothers the gift of thoughtfulness, of really caring what's going on in her life. Mothers deserve that gift of thoughtfulness. Now, that doesn't mean that you're always going to agree about everything. It doesn't mean that everything's always going to go smoothly, because sometimes they don't. Even Jesus had a relationship with his mother that sometimes could be a little tough. But the love was always there, deep and strong. And sometimes, even when they found themselves in a conflict of will, Jesus found a way to thoughtfully respond to his mother. I can think of at least 3 times in the Bible when Mary didn't understand what Jesus was about, and he responded to her in a very thoughtful way. There was that time in the temple when he was 12 years old. You remember, she lost sight of him 3 days searching for her son. And when she found him, she was ready to let him know how much he had disappointed her. And yet, he said to her, what? Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? He was in the temple among the teachers. He didn't say, where I've been is none of your business. What I've been doing is not your concern. I'm doing God's work. I'm not doing your work. You just need to leave me alone. Instead, very gently, he responded to her and said, do you understand? This is who I am. This is what I'm doing. This is why I've come. He offered his mother a thoughtful gift. And then there was that wedding in Cana. That one always makes me smile, I have to be honest, because it kind of makes me think about my own mom a little bit. You remember Jesus and his disciples had come to Cana. He hadn't yet started his public ministry, and she kind of tried to push him to the front. She kind of tried to force him to publicly reveal himself. And what did he say? Mother, my time has not come. I know that you think I ought to be stepping out, but it's not time yet. And that does make me think of one of the things that moms do. Moms kind of push us forward. Moms kind of try to tell us, you need to try a little harder. You need to do a little more. You could be a little better. And Jesus had to respond, Mother, it's not my time yet. But look at what he did next. The next thing he did is, he did what she wanted him to do, but he did it privately. He did not step out and begin before it was time. But he also didn't say to his mother, you shouldn't be doing those kinds of things. You shouldn't. He responded in a loving, thoughtful way. And then there was that time, that really difficult time, when Mary really could not figure out what in the world is he doing. And she took his brothers with her and she went to try and bring him home and trying to kind of help him straighten out, was what she was thinking. And Jesus had to declare, whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Once again, he didn't say, leave me alone. But what he did say was this, I've got to accomplish God's plan. And you only understand the tenderness of that when you recognize that on the cross, the plan was being fulfilled. And he still reached out to his mother. Throughout his lifetime, Jesus responded with great respect and thoughtfulness. By going to the cross, Jesus revealed that his heavenly Father superseded earthly expectations. After all, Jesus was the oldest son. The oldest son of a widowed mother had a great responsibility. He was expected to provide for her throughout her lifetime, to give her a place to live, to care for her, and make sure that she was going to be safe. Jesus wasn't going to be able to do that because his first calling was to the cross. Because that was so, Jesus made sure that his mother would be cared for following the crucifixion and the resurrection. He united Mary with his apostle John by saying, woman, behold your son. To John, he said, behold your mother. Take care of my mother. Do what I won't be able to do. Thoughtfulness and respect are precious gifts that you offer to your mother. All of us know that as sons and daughters, we can find ways to make sure our mothers understand how much they mean to us. You may not be able to do everything that you wish you could do or everything that they would like for you to do, but you can do everything you can to let them know how precious they are in your life and that your love and your gratitude will always be there. Take time to be thoughtful. Third thing that we learn, we can offer our mothers the gift of tenderness. When Jesus looked down from the cross and directed her to John, those words seem so formal and kind of impersonal, don't they? Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. Until you understand that the word translated woman is the Greek term gynae. And that was the common term that was used when a son addressed his mother. The contemporary equivalent of gynae is the word mama. So he really wasn't saying, woman, behold your son. He was saying, mama, this is going to be your son now. He was saying to John, son, this is going to be your mama. And John took her into his house, and she became a part of his life. Jesus was telling Mary that John would love her like a son would love his mama. John would do so much more than provide for Mary's needs. He understood what was going on, that Jesus was not saying to him, now, John, you make sure she has food to eat. John, you make sure she has a roof over her head. Instead, the Bible says this, and then John took her into his own home. In other words, she became family. She was cared for and loved and cherished the way Jesus wanted her to be. The greatest indication of the Lord's tender love for his mother is found in the fact that Jesus was satisfied he had done all he needed to do. Here's the interesting thing. So Jesus said, mama, behold your son. Son, behold your mama. John made the decision that he would take her into his home and love her. And then here's the very next verse. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished. Jesus, knowing that he had taken care of his mother, was now ready to begin the statements from the cross that would lead to his death, his burial, and his resurrection. It was when he had taken care of his mother that he recognized, now I've done it all. I can go on and accomplish God's plan. The Lord calls us to show that same kind of tender regard for the mothers in our lives. He calls us to a heart-deep commitment to the women who have done so much to care for us. Children, you need to show the depth of your love for your mother by making sure they know they are secure in your commitment to them. Your parents have said to you, I will always be here for you. You need to say the same thing. And I will be here for you through the years. Whatever comes, I'm here. Dad, you owe it to your children to give them an example to follow by making sure they understand how committed to their mother you are. They take a cue from you about how much they are to treasure your wives. Make sure that they see that tenderness being expressed. Just like Jesus used that common word for mama, so the best kind of love is the kind that's expressed every day in small ways. As you simply say, I am here for you. Most of all, the Lord calls us to bring our mothers to the cross. John tells us that this entire conversation happened in a very special place. It all happened as they stood by the cross of Jesus. By the cross. That's where it happened. That's where Jesus showed his mother how precious she was in his life. And in the same way, we are called to bring our mothers to the cross of Jesus. to pray for them, to honor their faith, to grow from their example, to express our gratitude and love and encouragement. When we bring our mothers to the cross, what we're really saying is we recognize the place we all need to be is in the presence of Jesus. And we need to be there individually, and we need to be there together, and we need to recognize there's no place more precious than the cross. A strong family is one that stands together before the cross and plants itself in the saving power of Jesus. So if you want to honor your mothers today, if you don't do anything else, bring them before the cross and join them there in the presence of Jesus. So grateful that the Lord gave us a great example of how to love our mothers in His name. So grateful that we can bring them to the cross and pray for them at that place and worship together in that place and serve Him in that place. And that's my challenge to you as mothers today, that's what you do. Bring your mother to the cross and join her there. And maybe today, what that means is today's the day when you need to trust Jesus as your Savior and Lord. And maybe you're here. Maybe you've come to be with your mother, and the truth is you don't have a relationship with the Lord. You just kind of came to be with Mom, but you recognize what you need more than anything is a personal relationship with Christ. And in a moment, as we stand and sing our invitation hymn, that'll be your opportunity to come and receive Jesus. I'll be here at the front. I would love to introduce you to the Lord. Or maybe you're here and you're recognizing part of what we need to do is to simply be in this place. I need to bring my membership to this place. Our family needs to be together in this place. Maybe there's something else the Lord's talking to you about. And on this Mother's Day, this may be a day when you need to respond in your own way and in your own life to something God is telling you to do. And I'd be glad to meet you and pray with you about that. Is there a decision you need to make? Let's stand together. Let's sing. As God calls you, you come. Let me invite you to be seated again just for a moment. All right. Hang on just a minute. I'm reading here. All right. I'm doing cultural stuff here for just a minute. Oh, I'm going to welcome Caesar and Laura to come up here. Laura, Elena, Gutierrez, Almanza. Ah, didn't I do good? And Caesar, Benjamin, Martinez,
Dominguez.
Yay. Husband and wife. Coming to us, bringing their membership from the First Baptist Church of Saltillo, Mexico. Did I get that right? How good did I do? Most of you already know Caesar and Laura because they've been part of our fellowship. Caesar for about a year and a half now, yeah. And Laura, since she's been here, you know, every now and then in church, we have this thing about who traveled the furthest to get to church. And for Caesar and Laura, it is Mexico to China, yes, to Birmingham to First Baptist Church. I think they win the prize, don't you? And today, they come bringing their letter to our church to become part of our fellowship. They've already been a very special part of our congregation. And we're just so excited that they've come today to make it official, to join First Baptist Church. And that's really special. The thing I love, guys, was the first note of the invitation hymn, y'all were on your way. And I was so excited. We had the opportunity to talk a little bit last Sunday evening, and here they come. And if you want to let them know how glad you are that they're going to be part of First Baptist, you say amen.
Amen.
And that's the church saying to you all, welcome. We're so glad y'all are here. And they are such special. If you haven't gotten to know them yet, you need to get to know this very special couple. And in just a moment, I'm going to ask Judith to help them go out to the lobby so you can greet them and welcome them in a very personal way and let them know how glad you are that God's led them to First Baptist. So let's stand together. And Judith, if you'll see Caesar and Laura out. And we'll have a closing prayer and then one last song. Father, thank you for Caesar and Laura becoming part of our fellowship. Lord, they've been such a blessing to us already. And Lord, to be part of our First Baptist family is so special. And Father, we are asking you to bless them, to use them to be a blessing to us, to use us to be a blessing to them. And Father, together, help us to be a blessing to the kingdom. And Father, we want to pray that on this day, as we greet them and welcome them to our fellowship, and as we honor our mothers, that Christ might be glorified in all we are and all we do. And Father, we just want to pray, Lord, your very special blessing on our church family as we spend the rest of the day honoring our moms. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.